The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
I ask that you would please do so as we read the 127th Psalm, the first and the second verse. This morning I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, and I try to always say that while it will read slightly different than the translation you may be reading from, I assure you I'm in the Word of God. And I also, when I make scriptural references, I try to be consistent and use that same translation so it reads consistently the same. Psalm 127. First verse says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. For just a little while on this eve, this Labor Day holiday celebration eve, we want to consider the subject laboring for the Lord. Laboring for the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Laboring for the Lord. Amen. Of course, as I've already stated, tomorrow is Labor Day. And don't you find it interesting that we celebrate work by taking a day off from work? Come on, somebody. Because while the intent is that we set aside this weekend as a national tribute to the contributions that laborers have made to our country's strength, let's just be real and let's just be honest and admit that for most people, amen, tomorrow is a day when we traditionally cease from our labors to enjoy a day off. Come on, somebody. Well, that is unless you work in such places as hospitals, restaurants, airlines, civil servants, hospitality, retail, or any place where people like to go on the day off. But for the most part, amen, while we call it Labor Day, we try to do as little labor as possible, amen. I also find Labor Day to be an interesting holiday because it's not one of the major holidays. I mean, relatives don't typically come over. There's no turkey to eat, cookies to bake, or presents to unwrap. We don't decorate the house or even give Labor Day gifts. Brother Miller, even the florist and the greeting card manufacturers haven't found a way to capitalize on Labor Day. Of course, it is a boon to resorts and tourist areas, and it's also a tough weekend of attendance for a whole lot of churches. Come on, somebody. Because so many people like to take time off to travel. Of course, some folk need to understand it ain't Labor Day weekend every day weekend, but that's another subject. Amen. Amen. Labor Day also signifies that summer is pretty much over. The pools are closed, amen, and in a few weeks, the leaves are going to begin to change color and begin to fall to the ground. As a matter of fact, again, we just were reminded that on this month, on the 22nd, fall or autumn actually officially begins. Temperatures are going to soon turn cold, and then guess what? Snow's coming. But Sister Miller, here's something else I thought about. I mean, my mind, this is kind of how, I'm just giving y'all behind the scenes of how my mind works sometimes. Have you also considered that tomorrow is the last holiday until Thanksgiving? My God, that means we got to work for about 2.5 months until we can get a day off. I'm talking about working, folk. I know some of y'all say, not me, to all the retired folk. I know. As a matter of fact, speaking of labor and work, amen, surveys reveal that 65% of American workers are unhappy with their jobs. It's a whole lot of folk who go to work simply because they have no other choice. Amen. I mean, we don't sing this song out loud, and we don't necessarily advertise that we sing the song, but there's a little song that rings in our ears that when we get up on that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever it is, there's a song that says, I owe, so it's off to work I go. Y'all done sung that song. Stephanie, I owe, so it's off to work I go. Huh? Come on, somebody. Y'all pray for your pastor. Most people would probably tell you that they're unhappy with what they do because it's the same old routine, day after day after day, and their life seems to be a meaningless merry-go-round with no real purpose to it. Which brings me to our text here in Psalm 127. I hope you didn't close your Bibles, because even as I opened up with a little bit of introduction of some light humor, we have to dig into the text, amen. So we've already read the text, amen. And so when you're studying the Bible, after you've read the passage, one of the first steps that you need to do is to make some observations towards getting some meaning and understanding. And so here are a few things that jump out to me when I observe this text. Put the text up there for me. When I observe this text, first of all, the word unless is used twice in verse 1. All right? The word unless is used twice in verse 1. And I want you to, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is a word of condition. Believe it, they use unless in the New King James and even the NIV. But it's similar to the word except, which is how the King James Version translates it. The other thing I want you to write down is that not only it is a word of condition, it's an emphatic term, all right? The second observation that I make when I read this text is that I see three words that are very similar in meaning, and all have to do with work. The words build and labor are in verse 1, all right? And the word toil is in verse 2, all right? Here's the third observation that I made when I read this text. Notice that the word vain is used 3 times in these 2 verses. It's used twice in verse 1, and then again for a third time in verse 2. Now, when you look up the word vain, you can translate the word vain as emptiness, vanity, uselessness, worthless, and without result. So what happens when you make some observations? Then you can move and try to move into some interpretation and life application. Because as I reflected on the passage, I wrote this summary statement or this prepositional phrase, if you will, down. And that is, unless our labor is for the Lord, our lives will be empty. Unless our labor is for the Lord, our lives will be empty. So as a result, as I began to not only build my study, I began to build the message, and there are three key human needs that are addressed in these two verses. And they are significance, security, and satisfaction. I'm going to fix it in a minute. Three human needs that are addressed in these two verses: significance, security, and satisfaction. Let's talk about that first one, significance. Look at the first part of verse 1 again. It says, unless the Lord builds. Stop right there. The fact of the matter is, hear me today, the fact of the matter is that generally for most people, whether in or outside of the church, we want our contributions to count. We want our lives to leave a legacy. I'm always amazed at that when any funeral you go to, there are always going to be some things that you hear about individuals that maybe you didn't know, or some things you hear that, of course, you did know, but it's all about the contributions that they made. It's all about the legacies that they have and that they'll leave and that will be lived through their loved ones. Amen. But unfortunately, too many people are seeking significance apart from the Lord. And as a result, the rest of verse 1 says that those who build it labor in vain. You see, for some, a career has become the altar on which they sacrifice their lives. Somebody say, ouch. Work can easily become our new religion, where we bow down and give our time. Lord, help me to stand tall. There's something that I came across, and I'm going to say it. I didn't give it to him to put up, but I'm going to say it a couple of times slow because I want you to chew on it for a minute. Someone has said that we worship our work. We work at our play, and we play at our worship. I'm going to say it again. Someone has once said that we worship our work. We work at our play. How many of y'all done took your laptops and your cell phones when you're supposed to be on vacation? We work at our play, and we play at our worship. How many of you have seen the movie War Room? And whether you have or haven't, in that movie, one of the characters is a guy who is trying to find his entire worth through his work. Now, I'm not going to give away what happens, just in case you might want to go home on your Labor Day weekend, pull it up on Netflix or Amazon Prime. Come on, somebody. So I won't give away what happens, but suffice it to say that he ends up seeing how empty he really is. Listen to me when I say this. When lives lack meaning, there are a whole lot of people who look to their careers to provide identity and self-esteem. But we need to understand that's not how God intended or set up the idea for us to go to work. Our work should never take first place in our lives because, hear me today, work is a terrible determiner of our sense of worth. I'll say it again. I said our work should never take first place in our lives. Because work is a terrible determiner of our sense of worth. Solomon kept a diary that can be found in the Bible. It's called the Book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon came to understand that our jobs are never designed to meet our deepest needs. write these verses, write these down for you to go back and look at. Write down Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3. And when you go, you're going to read it and you're going to find these words. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Write down Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. When you have time, go home and read it. But when you go get there, you're going to find it. It's going to say, I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. Then finally, I want you to, same chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, jump down to verse 11. You're going to hear him say, then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after a wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Here's something else to think about. Of course, we're reading Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. We're in Psalm, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Of course, I know the original language is Aramaic, but generally the language that is written in is Hebrew. And Hebrew is a language of pictures, and the Hebrew word for work is also translated. Watch this. It was interesting we were doing this. The Hebrew word for work can be translated as worship and service. That's why worship takes work. Come on, somebody. Can be translated as worship and service. So hear me today. God has always intended our work, no matter what you do. I don't care if it takes a broom or you carry an attaché case. He has always intended our work, our worship, and our giving to be seamless ways of living. There should never be a differentiation. See, some folk, you don't know it or not, but some folk got a whole different attitude at work than they do at church. Amen. Some folk got a whole different demeanor. Some do. There's some that bring it all with them all the time. But some folk got a different demeanor at work than they do at church. Some folk talk a different language, come on somebody, at work than they do at church. But whether you are in church, at work, or wherever you might be, God intended that our work, our worship, and our giving be a seamless way of living. The challenge for us is to recognize that even through labor, even though labor, I should say, can be hard and challenging, we have been designed to work in tandem with God and not for ourselves. Again, I want you to write this down in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. When you have time, you're going to read it, and here's the crux. It says, whatever you do, work heartily. This is the English Standard Version. As for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. In other words, unless our labor is for the Lord, our lives will be empty. But when we work with him and for him, allowing the Lord to do his building through us, guess what? We can then find significance. Second thing I want to show you is security. My brothers and my sisters, I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but we live in an increasingly insecure society. From the highest levels of our government down through our city streets, we are very insecure. So the question is, what do we do about it? How do we handle it? Well, we can become more vigilant and more watchful. But watch what the second half of verse 1 says. It says, unless the Lord watches over the city. Come on, somebody. The watchman stays awake in vain. I need to speak this to somebody. No matter how hard you or any of us strive to find security, apart from the Lord, we will always remain insecure and in an unstable position. You see, some folk want more things when the thing is you need more Jesus. But you can't find security apart from the Lord. Listen, with all due respect to Aretha Franklin and Senator McCain, as many accolades as they could stack up for both of them, they both had to go by way of death. As beautiful as Aretha Franklin's casket was, as magnificent and reverenced that Senator McCain's casket was, I didn't see either one of them hitched with a U-Haul, taking none of that stuff that they left with them. As a matter of fact, need to pray for Aretha Franklin's family because she died without a will. And so her people are going to have to fight the government and probate to get what she built up and left for the legacy. One of the things I hope for both of them, again, is the biggest thing is that they knew the Lord. You got to have a relationship with God. That's the only way you're going to have your security. You can't wrap yourself, you can't wrap yourself in your stuff, in your accolades, and none of that stuff. It's beautiful to hear those things said about you by people, but you want to hear the Lord say, well done. That's how we want to finish well. And then, but then you know a beautiful life that was lived, because when the Lord calls them home, that legacy lives out through their siblings, through their family. You can see it. I went to one on yesterday, went to go visit with my friend John Bibby. I never got a chance to meet his mother, Helen. But as I read everything about her, as I got to know my friend, I can learn all about his mother, her dedication, her commitment, her giving heart, her sharing, and all of those deals. But her security was built in when she gave her life to Christ at an early age. And all of the other stuff came as a result of her living for Christ. Listen, unless our labor is for the Lord, our lives will be empty. And when we work with him, allowing him to do his building through us, listen, we will discover significance. And when we submit to the Lord's watchful care, guess what? We will find security. Here's one more benefit: satisfaction. In verse 2, what's interesting here, remember it's Hebrew, so we got a picture, and there's a picture of unhealthy desperation. Text says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Now remember, this is a song of ascent, one which Solomon wrote. And what Solomon is describing is someone who is stressed out, someone who is not sleeping, someone who is not enjoying their food. Have you ever looked at somebody and you can tell when they're not eating? And they're not eating because some folk are stressed. They also look like they're not doing well because some folk aren't getting enough sleep. So when you get that combination of not eating well and not sleeping well, we don't look well. Amen. The term anxious toil has to do with hurt along with emotional and physical pain. Because when you are stressed out, the manifestation is in the physical. Our eyes are heavy. Our countenance is low. It all begins to manifest itself. And that's why every now and then when you go to the doctor and you say you got aches and pains and dealing with some stuff in your body, some pressure points, the doctor doesn't ask you right away, Where does it hurt? He asks, what's going on in your life? Stress can trigger asthma. Amen. Of course, you know stress can be a contributor to hypertension. Solomon wrote something similar in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, again, 22 and 23. He says, what has a man from all the toil and striving of heart which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. He says, this also is vanity. Here's the principle. God gives to those who have learned to trust him, not to those who try to do everything on their own strength. Amen. Instead of trying to get our satisfaction from our jobs by working harder and harder and putting in more and more hours, listen, they still gonna only give you that same 0.5% increase. Care how hard you work, how much you reach your goals and objectives, even exceed, they've already determined how much they're going to break off for you and how much they're going to leave for themselves. Come on, somebody. And it's causing you to lose sleep. You're frustrated. You're angry. It's coming up on that time of year. You just passed your midterms. Your mid-years, and now we're coming up on year-end evaluations. And some of y'all already stressed out, angry and mad because they done messed up and said what you didn't do, and here it is. But listen, only the Lord can give to his beloved sleep. And that's why that's just some stuff you're going to have to turn it over to Jesus. Lord, you handle it. Ecclesiastes 5 and 12 says, sweet is the sleep of a laborer. And Psalms 4 and 8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Unless our labor is for the Lord, our lives will be empty. But when we do labor for the Lord, we will find our significance, our security, and our satisfaction in him. As I get ready to close, in order to apply what we've learned today, I'd like to leave you with these quick summary points. Number one, for somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to, and if it's not you, take it with you to take to somebody else. And the thing is, evaluate your emptiness. Evaluate your emptiness. For some folk, it's not just work. For some folk, they're trying to find significance in their relationships. They're trying to find significance in the clothes that they wear, the cars that they drive. The question I want to ask is, do you find life unsatisfying and empty? Let me ask you this question. Does your money seem to burn a hole in your pocket? Huh? Well, here's what I mean scripturally, because in the first chapter of Haggai, people are putting their own lives and their houses and jobs before the Lord. And in order to get their attention, God didn't allow them to find their significance, their security, or their satisfaction apart from him. As a matter of fact, it says in verses 5 through 7, it says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The solution was to put God first and not themselves. Second summary point I want you to consider is to worship while you work. You may not whistle, but you need to worship while you work. On this Labor Day weekend, where we honor our jobs and the work that is done in our country, worship must be lived out in the workplace, schools, and even on campuses, because that's where you and I probably spend the most or the majority of our time. Worship while you work. And the last thing I want to consider is live on mission at work. I need you to see yourself, and again, if this isn't you, encourage somebody who is frustrated on that job, frustrated as you know what on the job. But you need to see yourself as a missionary cleverly disguised as an employee. You are a missionary cleverly disguised as an administrator. You are a missionary cleverly disguised as a server, a waiter, a waitress. You are a missionary cleverly disguised as a business owner. You are a missionary cleverly disguised as a truck or a delivery driver. You are a missionary who was cleverly disguised as a student. You are a missionary who was cleverly disguised as a volunteer worker, or you are disguised as a neighbor. Listen, work hard at your job, but don't let it become your God. I say it again, work hard at your job, but don't let it become your God. Make this a Labor Day to remember by focusing on the one who completed his work, his labor of love that was fully expressed on the cross of Christ, so that you can experience significance, security, and satisfaction, and a benefit package that is out of this world. Significance, security, and satisfaction are only found through salvation in Jesus Christ. Unless our labor is for the Lord, our lives will be empty. And that speaks to someone, even if you are in transition. As much as we desire and need our jobs, don't make yourself deemed insignificant because someone has yet to hire you. God still says, you're my child, and I love you, and I can take care of you if you put your hope and your trust in me. Laboring for the Lord. The doors of the church are open. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.